Are you dying to live? I'm dying to live. Are you dying to live? The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now that word power is the same word we find in Acts 1:8, which is you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That word is dunamis, it's dynamic working power, right? It's God's power, supernatural power. God's intent is not to patch people, but to transform people. Amen? And if we try to patch ourselves, we will only be putting something beautiful on something ugly. And the ugly eventually will win out. Now, God is not into, again, patching us up, but He's into changing and transforming us into His glorious image, the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So, 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, I delivered to you, first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, what, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, in the church today, I think we'll understand and agree to this because you know that we strive to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, to exalt the Word of God, amen, and to do the will of God here. Now, so if you want to compromise and live a compromised life, you're not going to be comfortable here because we're not going to let you be comfortable here. Amen? And because we love you too much to let you die. Amen? You see somebody perishing, amen, you need to throw the lifesaver out. So we're not going to pretend everything is okay if it's not. Personally, I can't pretend everything's okay if it's not. I need God's grace on a daily basis. How about you? In the churches today, we are finding the accommodating, seeker-sensitive, comfortable atmosphere. In many circles, counseling has replaced repentance. True worship has been replaced with music that centers on self rather than Christ. And in some cases, rituals, traditions, have replaced the power of the Holy Spirit. Altar calls are rarely seen in many church services. In many cases, there's very little pre-service prayer. And the sick are usually just comforted in many circles with words. And the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit are never manifested in many American churches. Many American churches are offering all kinds of seminars on how to be successful, how to have your best life now, but there is very little preaching anymore on the cross. And yet, the message of the cross is the power of God, the dunamis of God unto salvation. And if we eliminate the cross from our message, we have bowed our knee to Baal. We're worshiping a different Jesus. We have adopted a crossless Christianity. You see, people want the crown, but they don't want the cross. Jesus, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. He was able to see beyond the cross, the temporary, into the eternal. He knew, because He saw you and He saw me in our depravity. He knew that we were lost and without hope, and there was no way that we could save ourselves. So because God so loved us, He took the initiative, and Jesus was willing to agree with the Father and the Holy Spirit to come and become just like you and I, a man of flesh and blood, amen, and die a horrible death on the cross for us. Two things were accomplished when Jesus died for us. First of all, is He cleansed us. Amen? He will wash us from our sin, but He will also deliver us from the power of sin. This is what we need to understand, is that God has delivered us, His church, from the power of sin. But we have to understand how to walk in that victory that Jesus has already accomplished for us at the cross. You cannot have resurrection without the cross. The resurrection and the cross are inseparable. Amen? You cannot have one without the other. If you and I want to experience the resurrection life of Christ, then we have to come by way, like Jesus did, of the cross. And we're going to talk about that today. What does the cross mean? What does it really mean to me? How do I walk this out? A man or woman who has been through resurrection or raised with Christ has the mark of death on them. You can do many deeds, okay? You can still do many things, many deeds, but you've lost your self-assurance when you've been through the cross. The cross breaks us. The cross brings us into a place where we no longer dare to trust our own ability. We no longer dare to have self-confidence. And if we try to put confidence in self, we will fail miserably and we will not enjoy the resurrection of Christ. Are you hearing me? Yeah. So God takes us and breaks us. It's called the cross. The cross is an eliminator. It eliminates me, if you will, so that Christ can live now in me. That's what Paul meant when he says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Amen? He said, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ in me." Paul was a man who learned how to die to himself so that the resurrection power of Christ would live in him. Are you hearing me? So Christ would live in him. So without the cross, there's no resurrection. And there are many who want to go another way. They don't want to come by way of the cross. And even when Jesus was telling Peter and the others that he was going to go to the cross, Peter, in an emotional moment, thought, "How unfair. That can't happen, Jesus. I'll never let that happen to you," he said. And just after Jesus had commended Peter, you know, because he had acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that the Father had revealed that to him, the next moment, Jesus turns around and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? He says, "You're not mindful of the things of God, but you're mindful of your own things. You don't understand. It's not my will, but His will." And the same thing has to be true. It has to be His will and not my will. For me to walk and live in life, I have to die to live. Are you dying to live? God wants us to walk in freedom. Hallelujah. The old man dead, walking in the new life. And often people are in failure because they're trying in their own efforts, in their own strength, in their own willpower. And unfortunately, even in the church, too much of the message is centered not on the cross, but it's centered on self and how to help yourself and how to be a better self. And God is saying through Jesus that if you want to live, if you really want to know life, you're going to have to die to yourself and walk with me in the new life. "If any man will come after me, let him utterly disown himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Where I am," he said, "there my servant will be also." I want to be with Jesus. How about you? Paul could no longer walk in self-confidence after his conversion. You know, at one time, the Apostle Paul, formerly Saul, had great confidence because he was so educated. You know? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had so much confidence in his knowledge and his ability. And until God touched his life, until God broke him in that moment when he had that experience on the road to Damascus, remember? He was changed, folks. Something changed in him. Now, Paul had to learn, just like we learn, that now I'm in Christ. Now that this has happened to me, I've been born again, I have to learn how to walk in life. And the only way to walk in life is to die to myself. if we try to live to ourselves as a believer, we will be even in worse shape than we were before. See, Paul had confidence in himself. He was a natural man and had natural confidence and natural understanding. And he had a lot of knowledge even of the Bible. Amen? And yet, when God touched him, something happened to Saul. He became Paul, and no longer did he have self-confidence. No longer did he have confidence in himself. In Philippians 3:3, he says, "For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort." No confidence, that's a New Living Translation, in human effort. "Though I could have confidence," he said, "in my own effort, if I could, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason to confidence in their efforts, I have even more." He said, now he begins to talk about his credentials. Are you hearing me? "I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I was a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law." He was a law person, you know. Every jot and tittle, everything was perfect. "I was so zealous," and he was even zealous, "that I harshly persecuted the church." How many know that zeal is not always a sign of the anointing? We can be zealous and be wrong. We see that in the Middle East today, don't we? "And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable. Now, what happened? I considered them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I had discarded everything else. For His sake, I had discarded everything else, counting it all as what? Garbage. One translation calls it dung. So that I could gain Christ." In other words, I'm not going to rely on my understanding. I'm not going to rely on my credentials. I'm not going to rely on my ability anymore, because I want Jesus. If you want Jesus, you're going to have to die to yourself. If you want that which is eternal, you're going to have to deal, amen, a death blow to the temporary. You have to be willing to go with God's plan now. God's way now. You see, we struggle within our flesh. Our flesh struggles because it's fighting to have its way. "I did it my way." We're fighting because we want it our way. And yet you cannot have God's way if you want your way. And God's way is the way of everlasting life. Amen. The way of everlasting joy.
Amen.
God's way, not my way.
Amen.
And sometimes we're in the very last of the death throes and we're fighting and everything seems like it's falling apart around us. It is not making sense. And God, where are you? God is there. God is trying to bring us to the place where we realize that I can no longer put my confidence in my own ability. I must trust in Christ. Because He wants to do something much superior in your life. Amen. Than what we could attain here in this temporary world. Paul said, "All that I did before, I just counted as rubbish. I discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I could gain Christ." And then in Galatians, he says to the Galatian church, 6:14, "As for me, may I never boast about anything else except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died." I can remember having friends, having some popularity because I played in a rock band, you know, and we had quite a group of groupies and people around, and I was the party animal, and you know, and we thrive on that naturally, you know, to have people like us and want us, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, Jesus interrupts. Thank God he interrupted my plans. And all of a sudden, it's like, where are they now? Where are my friends now? You know what? I have found true friendship in the body of Christ. I found real love, genuine love in God. Amen. In the Lord and in His people who have His Spirit. And it's a good thing, folks. It's a good thing to die to the world. And he say, you know, there's nothing that's going to... How many have discovered... I know some of you are so spiritual today, like me. But can you honestly say, you know what? Nothing seems to satisfy me anymore in this world. Yeah? How many can say, you know, I don't find satisfaction in the world? Just a show of hands. Yeah, look at that. Yeah. Is that a bad thing? Why? Because we find our satisfaction in Him now. And so God weans us off the stuff that we hang on to, the idols. Come on. In our hearts, the things that, God, I'll give you this, but I'm not going to give you that. Well, if you don't give me that, I can't give you what I have, which is superior. He says, listen, I once thought these things were valuable, Philippians 3:7, you know, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. And then he said again in Galatians 6:15, it doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed. There it is. Metamorphosis into a new creation. Again, in salvation, God sets us free from two things. He sets us free from the punishment of sin and the power of sin. The first one has to do with the eternal fire of hell. The punishment of sin, and then the power of sin is enslavement to sin. Now, it's in the area of enslavement to sin that we need victory. Are you hearing me today? And we have to overcome, first of all, a slave mentality. And the Word of God does that. It washes and renews our minds and gives us His perspective on things. Because Israel, when you remember when they'd been in bondage, they had never known freedom. And so when they came out, even out of Egypt, by the hand of God, they still had the mentality of a slave. And God had to teach them that you're no longer a slave under Egypt and under Pharaoh, which represents Satan. I brought you out and I brought you to myself. And in this place, I'm going to teach you how to hear my voice. It's in the difficulties that we learn to hear His voice, because we have to grow up for Him. We have to learn to listen for His voice and say, God, I need instruction. I need help. And so the old man or sin nature within man is worthless. It's unchangeable. It's incurable. All right. The sinful nature of man cannot be fixed. We talked about that. What is that? That's that old part of us, that old life. We call it the old man or the sin nature. Okay? How many know that God didn't apply the blood to the sin nature? No. The sin nature has to be crucified. And that's what we must do. You understand, folks? Our responsibility is to crucify the sin nature. Jesus paid our price. He released, amen, His cleansing blood to wash away sins. Those are the things that were done externally in our body. The misdeeds of our body, amen, the sins that we've committed. But Christ wants to crucify the sin nature within mankind so that we will then walk with Him in the new life. Without the cross, there's no resurrection. Unless we're willing to repent, there is no salvation. Today, people are being offered salvation without repentance. And unless people repent of their sins, they will not be saved. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Unless, Jesus said, unless you repent of your sins, you shall all likewise perish. What Jesus did is he came to set us free from the bondage or the power of the sin nature. It's not by my own efforts that I overcome my sin nature. It's by the power of God, amen, that we overcome the sin nature. God gives us a new spirit, amen. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. Christ comes in and He enables us then by His grace that He supplies to live a life of victory over sin, over that nature that wants to dominate and control. And so as Paul, we have to daily say, I choose to die to my aspirations, my desires, my wants, my likes, what I want to do. I choose to follow the will of my Father just like Jesus. Amen. You see, when Jesus laid it out, spelled it out, what He really required of people, that's when people made the exodus. You see, there are many people, they won't come here because they don't want to hear this kind of message. They want to go to a place that just pacifies them, sticks a bottle in their mouth, amen, parts the mustache. You know what I'm saying? It's time for God's people to realize that if you want to have victory, if you want to know the abundant life that Jesus promised, you have to die to yourself. And have you discovered, like I'm discovering, that the more I die to me, the more He lives in me? The more I'm willing to lay down my agenda and say, Lord, what's your idea? What's your plan? You have a superior plan. I'm scrapping my plan that I might go with your plan. If we decide to do that, that's what it means to live. His way is the way of life. When things don't go our way, when people talk bad about us, when people abuse us, you know, when people are unfair to us, how do we respond? We have to die to ourselves. My flesh wants to rise up, amen, like AT&T and touch somebody. But the spirit man says, no. When someone curses you, you bless. See, Peter tried to tell Jesus, Lord, I'll never let you go to the cross. And the next thing you know, Jesus turns around and he says, Peter, he didn't say Peter, did he? He said, Satan, get behind me. He called him Satan. Imagine if a preacher were to do that to somebody in church today. I don't think they'd be there the next week. But yet Jesus himself had a very strong, stern, did Jesus love Peter? Sure. But he rebuked him sharply. He says, because you're not mindful of the Father's will, you're full of your own idea. You know, we want to reason things out. That doesn't make sense. Why would you do that, Jesus? He didn't understand. And if it wasn't for the cross, you and I would still be in our sins. We would have no hope. What God does is He deals with the old man. The old man has to die, and God desires to give us something completely new instead. Again, it's not a patch job. But it's a transformation. It's an exchange. I give up my life, I get His. I'll say it again. I give up my life, I get His. How many want His life? Well, I pray that God, if you don't feel that way, I pray that God will bring you to that place. Because that's the place where you're going to really live. And it's much easier just to be cooperative with the Holy Spirit than to kick and scratch and resist. The old man cannot be fixed. Now, not only did Jesus die for us, but He died with us. Not only did He die for you, but He died with you. In Revelation 1:4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:5, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins, plural, in his blood. What are these? Again, these are those acts that are done outwardly, the sinful deeds. And again, the Bible never tells us that the sin nature or the old man within us is to be washed. The old man has to be crucified. So far, so good? Romans 6:2 says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Romans 6:5 and 6. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we'll also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Not only did he die for us, but he died with us. In other words, when Jesus went to the cross, he brought every sinner, are you hearing me, to the cross with him. We died with him. Those in Christ have died with him at the cross. Our old man was crucified with him, and the body of sin, that the body of sin, that's the sin nature, we call it the old man, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. As long as we are yielding and listening and walking in the old man and old Adam, we do not have victory. It's impossible for us to overcome sin. We have to be new creations. We have to come into Christ. Dying to myself means I no longer live for myself, but for him. Jesus received our punishment at the cross. When he died on the cross, he received our punishment. And he brought all sinners with him onto that cross. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. You understand, folks? The only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. God has leveled the playing field. Everyone has to come the same way, and that is through Christ. They have to come by way of the cross. There's only one way to life, and it is through Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is that way. He is the only way. Buddha is not the way. Allah is not the way. There's no other way except through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Who forgives our sins, but also we ourselves are united with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. And he died for all, that those, verse 15, should live no longer for themselves. He died for all, that those who live should no longer what? Live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Unless we die with the Lord Jesus, the old man continues to thrive, and we cannot walk in his resurrection or ascension. Now, how do I crucify my flesh? How do I crucify the old man? I'm going to give you a simple answer, and then we're going to go a little further with this. First of all, by placing my full confidence in Christ and refusing to trust in myself any longer. By putting my full confidence in Christ and refusing to trust in myself any longer. I choose to worship in the Spirit and depend on his strength each day. That's why Jesus told us to pray this way. Grant us, or give us this day, our daily bread. It's a daily walk. He provides the grace that we need to walk in his victory. Because we have been united in his death, we shall also be united in the likeness of his resurrection. Folks, if we're walking in resurrection, it means we've been to the cross. If we're living a selfless life, then we'll be filled with Him. We cannot be filled with Jesus and filled with ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. We have to disown ourselves. We have to die to ourselves so that Christ can live in us. You see, this is the way of joy. This is the way of peace. This is the way of righteousness. Why? It's not my righteousness. It's His righteousness. When I die, then His righteousness, He lives in me. And I'm righteous because of Christ and not because of me. All about a relationship, isn't it? God helps us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh or the old man, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body. Amen. And then you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Colossians 3:5 says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. And you used to do these things. He's talking to those who have come out of these things. Colossians 3:7, when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. As you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. We are transformed as we behold Him. We are changed into His likeness as we worship Him. As we lose sight of self and we die to self in His presence. Come on. It's no longer I that live but Christ in me. I want to live in His presence. Amen. I want Him to consume me with Himself. I want to be saturated in Him. I want to enjoy the abundance of His presence. And I can't have that unless I'm willing to let go of my agenda, my desires, are you hearing me today? Unless I'm willing to die to myself and even the things that I think are important to me or even my passions. Are you hearing me today? I have to die to my passions and say, God, resurrect me in Your passion. Let Your will become my desire. I'm willing to let myself go. I'm willing to give You my life. You see, we'll come to an altar and we'll say, God, I give You my life. And yet we don't, because we walk away and we live for ourselves. And we come back and we do our church thing. Are you hearing me? But God is calling us to a daily walk with Him. Amen. In His resurrection life. And it is because daily we choose to say, Lord, not as I will, but as You will. You see, in that place of obedience to the Father is where there's joy, where there's peace, where there's righteousness. People who are happy in God, who are blessed in God, are people who have learned how to die to themselves. People who are happy in God, blessed in God, are those who have learned how to die to themselves. We get too full of ourselves, too focused on ourselves, too worried about everything and our problems. It's me, 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 me. It's like, forget about you. It's like, God, what about you? We remember what Jesus did. Jesus went to the cross for me. He calls me to meet Him there. To meet Him at the cross and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk with You now in the new life. I'm crucified to myself, to my desires, to my dreams, to my goals. And you know what? God may just say, that was the goal and that was the dream I gave you. But you've got to let it come through resurrection. And you've got to be willing to let go of those things that God says no to. Hallelujah. Let go of those things that God says no to. Let go of those things that are wasting your time. That are unproductive, that have no value in eternity. Come on, the enemy will offer you all kinds of excuses, all kinds of things, all kinds of entrapments to keep our minds occupied and preoccupied with all kinds of vain living and vain things. And what about eternity? What about the will of God? And what about the fact that we're all going to see Jesus? We're all going to see the King of Glory someday. And He's going to come on, the Father constantly remembers, amen? That's why He said, celebrate Passover, celebrate communion. Remember what I've done for you. Don't forget what I've done for you. And when you go through a hard time, remember that Jesus went through it also. For the joy set before Him. He looked beyond the temporary inconvenience, the temporary discomfort, the temporary sometimes persecution, and yet He saw that God has something better. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, 1 Peter 4:1, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. We cannot put the new man onto the old man. It's not until we're willing to put these things to death, the lust and the greed and the hate and the unforgiveness, when we're willing to put those things to death, then we are in a position where we can put on the new man. You see, God cannot clothe us in Himself if we're full of ourselves. If I'm preoccupied with just what I want and how I want it, you see, too much of the church has been focused on needs. Because, yes, we have needs. I have needs. God knows we have needs. He said, but seek first the kingdom. Put me first in front of everything else. And if you do that, I'm going to take care of your needs. You're not going to be stressed out about your needs because you're going to find contentment in my presence. You're going to find your peace, your joy, your fulfillment in me and in my will for your life. And these other things are going to be just like little distractions. Are you hearing me? They're going to be like little fleas. You just got to swat them off. Come on. What the devil does is he puts all this stuff in front of your face. And he wants you to focus on that and not on him. Not on Jesus. Has anybody been hearing this today? Am I speaking the truth? Yes. See, God wants you to have life. He does want you to have joy. How is it that the disciples who had been flogged in prison, had been in horrible conditions, had been mistreated, amen? They were bleeding, they were sore. And they left out of there rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer stripes for Jesus' name. Wow, how could they do that? Because they had learned to die to themselves. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ in me. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. There is a place of joy. There is a place of contentment near the heart of God. And God is saying, if you want what I have for you, you're going to have to give me what you have. Remember the story of the dime store pearls? The little girl who each night the daddy would come in to read her a bedtime story, and she had these dime store pearls that she just adored so much, she held on to those things. And every night the daddy would read her a bedtime story and said, "Honey, can I have those pearls?" She goes, "Oh no, daddy, you can have my dolly, you can have anything else, but not my pearls." That was very special to her. That was very precious to her, you know? And night after night, this went on. And one day, he asked the question, "Honey, can I have those pearls?" And so she pulls in her pocket and reluctantly pulls them out with tears in her eyes. And she gives them to Daddy. "Your Daddy, you can have them." You see, that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to get us to get to the place where we're willing to die to the inferior and the lesser things and be willing to give it all to Him. Give it all to Him. Because what happened then is His dad reached into His pocket. And He pulled out the authentic, the real pearls. Are you hearing me? This is God's heart for us. You want to live? Die. Sometimes we're not getting our way and the things are not happening, even dreams that we have, because we're trying to force it or make it happen. And instead, God is saying, die. If you die to yourself, then I'll open the heavens. Things will begin to happen. That's what God's teaching me. How about you? God's teaching me this. Sometimes I say, "Jesus, I just want to serve you. I just want to live for you. I want to honor you. I want to bless you. The rest of my life, Lord, I want to bring glory to you." And I have that resistance, you know, the other part of me that wants to do its thing. And I'm finding something is happening. It's a process in my life. How about you? That all of a sudden you're finding that things that you used to favor, things that you used to spend your time doing, you don't care about anymore. God's eliminating them. The cross is at work. He's getting us in the position, folks. He's raising up this church. He's raising us up to get us into the place where it doesn't matter what your situation looks like. You're living in a different place because you're dying to it all. You're dying to it. You die to the opinions of men. If people ridicule or they laugh or they scorn, whatever, you die to it. Are you hearing me? He says, it doesn't matter. What matters is what my Father says, and my Father says, I'm His. My Father validates me and says, this is my son, this is my daughter. I don't care what people think. That's where God wants us to be. A dead person doesn't care what people think about them. A dead person doesn't have to curse those, amen, who curse them. I live in Christ, so when I get cursed, I bless. Amen? If somebody despitefully uses me and persecutes me, is unfair to me, then what do? I pray for them. There's another part of me that says, I'll get you back. That part has to die. That's where you say no. When you say no to your flesh, you say no to that old man. What happens is, if you quit feeding the old man, he starves. You stop feeding that nature, it dies. Amen? And then you feed your faith. You build yourself praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Worshiping God. You get into the Word. You feed yourself the Word, the manna of heaven. Let God feed and build your soul. Amen? And your spirit up. And then you'll walk in victory because you're in resurrection. Because you've died to yourself. Galatians 5:24 says that those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, yeah, our flesh has passions and desires. We become dead to the flesh, dead to our passions, dead to our desires. We need to crucify that flesh. We cannot abide in Christ if we refuse to die to ourselves. We cannot abide in Him if we refuse to die to ourselves. Folks, I know this is a strong message, but this is the message of the cross that many think is foolishness. Because the world says no. Whoever has the most toys wins. Whoever has the biggest name wins. Are you hearing me? Whoever's the prettiest, whoever's the most popular wins. But Jesus says no. In the kingdom, it's the other way around. When you die, you win. Why? Because you're going to walk with Him in the resurrection and ascension of Christ, where we've been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We live from heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. Do not be deceived. Amen? Galatians 6:8 says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live." In chapter 6, verse 14, he says, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died." In 1 Peter 4:4, he said, "Of course," listen guys, one more, we're almost through. "Of course," he says, "your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things that they do. So they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. But to us who are being saved, it is the dunamis, the dynamic working power of God, amen, to walk in new life in resurrection." I'm trying to help us today because you understand, folks, that it's not easy to crucify our flesh. But it's possible by the grace of God only. You see, this is the thing. If we try in our own efforts, it doesn't work. If we are worshipers of God, it works. For the Father is seeking worshipers. Hallelujah. Chapakuri, Anamaka, Sabukara, Kiyamakasa. Lord, we praise, we magnify, we glorify your name. Christ in me is to live and to die is to gain. Lord, we want to live in you. We want to have your life in us, God. We want you to rule. You want you to reign in us, God. The resurrection and the cross are inseparable. Now, I'm going to finish with a question today. Am I an enemy of the cross? Am I an enemy of the cross? Philippians 3:18. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, there are many whose conduct shows, listen, that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Now remember back to Peter. Peter thought he was doing the right thing when he rebuked Jesus for saying he was going to the cross. And Jesus turned around and rebuked him and said, Satan, get behind me because you're not mindful of the things. And you know what he said before that? He says, actually, you are an offense. You are a stumbling block to me. Do you know sometimes Jesus has to rebuke us because in our own zeal, we get in the way. In our own zeal, we're doing something that's actually causing a stumbling block rather than helping somebody. And so he said, listen, there are those who their conduct shows that they're really enemies of the cross. In verse 19, they are headed for destruction. Listen, their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on the earth. They think only about this life here on the earth. They think only about this life here on the earth. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as Savior. Colossians 3:1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind or your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Come on. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. I don't know about you, but I'm all in. Count me in, Lord. I'm all in. Amen? Not just, you can have a little bit of me. No, He says, I want all of you. Because in the areas that you hold back, He can't fill you. He can't bless you. Amen? You're going to walk in death. Why? Because when He died, we died too. Because one died for all dead. All died. Amen? So when we don't walk in the newness of life, we're actually walking in death. And there's nothing worse than a walking corpse. As a believer, we do not dare trust in our own ability, in our own wisdom, in our own willpower. But we fully must trust in Christ and in the resurrection. Amen? Amen? He is our life. For me to live is Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't like me when I don't walk with Jesus close. When I'm walking in the crucifixion, when I crucify my flesh, when I put it to death, then I enjoy the fellowship of His Spirit. I enjoy the life abundant that He promised. That's where it's at. How many here today are willing to die to live? You're willing to die to live. You're willing to say, okay, Lord, I've heard the word. I've heard the message of the cross today. I'm willing. I'm willing to deny myself that I might follow you. I'm willing to turn away from all my ideas, all my dreams. I'm just going to lay them on the altar. I'm going to lay all my desires, all my dreams, all my aspirations, all the things that I think are important, the dime store pearls, I'm going to lay them on the altar. I'm going to give it all to you. And now, Lord, you decide what lives and what dies. What part goes through into resurrection and what part stays? Oh, God. Thank you for the liberty that you bring us into, Lord, when we're willing to die to ourselves. You are our life, Jesus. And we're looking forward to you, to your coming soon. You see, for those who are looking for Him, He shall return a second time. Those who are looking for them, for Him, are those who have died to themselves. They no longer consider themselves citizens of this world. But I'm a citizen of heaven. That's my kingdom. Amen? Just like Jesus, my kingdom's not of this world. For me, to live is Christ. If you will receive this word today and take it before God and be honest with God right now and just be willing right where you're at, say, Lord, I want to surrender my life. I've made a mess of it. I've made a mess of it trying to be wise in my own understanding, doing it my way, being stubborn. God, I've just made a mess of things and I don't want my way anymore. I want your way. So Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you right now. Would you do that? Would you tell him, Jesus, I want you to take my life now. Lord, I'm done with selfish living. I want to live like you. I want to walk with you. Take my life, Lord. Take my life and give me yours. Hallelujah.